So we're going to do something a bit different today. Still Chassidus, but something a little bit different. And let me just give you a bit of background and context. So I'm going to do this. It's a mimer from the Rebbe, parts of it, because we can't do the whole thing. It's going to be much too long.
We're not clever enough.
Sorry?
And we're not clever enough.
No. I'm not being clever. Just tell you, it's one of our times, the whole mimer. So I'm doing it because this Thursday is Gimel Talmud, the Rebbe's Yahrzeit. And it's the last edited mimer that the Rebbe gave out before he had a stroke. So I'll just explain that. So the Rebbe would say a mimer very often. A mimer is different to a talk. Maybe I should just explain this actually. So one of the hallmarks, you could say, of a Rebbe in Chabad was to say a mimer. A mimer meant you say a Hasidic discourse, pure Hasidus. It's not a talk about the parsha. It's not an analysis in Gemara. It's not current events. He spoke all about those things, but those were talks. A mimer was like a very special sort of holy experience where they would start with a pasuk or a saying of Chazal, and then they would just explain a concept in Chassidus, right? So we normally start with a particular topic, but then go off on a tangent and just explain concepts in Chassidus, sometimes very deep ideas in Chassidus. We know when the Rebbe became Rebbe in 1950, when the Friedegger passed away in 1950, they asked the Rebbe to become Rebbe and he resisted. Although, for all intents and purposes, he led right from the beginning, but he didn't say a mimer as a sign like he's not officially accepting the thing. Until the first Yud Shvat, until the first anniversary of the Friedegger Rebbe. And he came into a Fabrengen. There were exceptions, but most of the Mamorim that the Rebbe said were always in the middle of a Fabrengen. So there would be talks in the Gunim, but he would also say a mimer. It was always preceded by a specific Nigun, and the Rebbe would always say it differently. He would close his eyes, he would say with a particular tune. But the first Yahrzeit, my father always used to describe it. My father was actually there. He was there by the first Yud Shvat. The Rebbe came in and he started again saying regular talks. It was the first Yahrzeit of the Friedrich Rebbe. People suspect that there is going to be a mimer, but it's a well-known story that in the middle of the Fabrengen, after one of the talks, there was a chassid, a great chassid called Rabbi Nemtsov, and he got up on a chair and he said, "The sichas are very nice, but we want a mimer." And the Rebbe became very serious and he said a mimer. I mean, he had planned to say a mimer, obviously, but this was like the push. And then from then on said hundreds and thousands of mimers. That was a very special mimer. That first mimer was like an inaugural mimer, and he spoke about our generation being the seventh generation and our mission, and so it was very clear that it was like a very, he was setting out the mission statement for his leadership kind of thing, besides all the very deep ideas in the mimer. Now, sometimes the Rebbe would say mimer a bit differently. He would say it as a sicha, he would say it like as a talk, but still was a mimer. I'll tell you an amazing story just about a mimer, so you know what they understand what the revelation of a mimer is. So when the Rebbe had a heart attack it's nothing to do with Gimel Talmud, it's just a very fascinating story, so you get a bit of a gist of what a mimer is when the Rebbe says a mimer. So when the Rebbe had a heart attack in 1977, it was the first night Shmini Atzeres. We know that the Rebbe said a talk from his room already on Matzah Simchas Torah for like 40 minutes. The doctors gave him 10 minutes, but he said for 40 minutes. And then he spoke a number of times then from his room. He said talks from his room. But he wanted to have a Fabrengen, and the doctors weren't happy with it. But they waited until Yutes Kislev. Yutes Kislev, they allowed the Rebbe to have a Fabrengen. It was a very famous thing, and it was like everyone was very excited. And they had then what was... This I heard from, it's a famous thing, it's on YouTube. Dr. Weiss, the Rebbe's doctor, telling the story, which he never told at the time, but he told much later after the Rebbe passed away. So they hooked up to the Rebbe for the Fabrengen. It was then, now there's a joke, but it was then high tech. It was a wireless monitor for the heart. So they put the things on the Rebbe's heart. And the two doctors, about Dr. Weiss and Dr. Resnick, they were in the crowd and they had on the floor a screen that no one could notice. But they were monitoring the Rebbe's heart all for Fabrengen. So the Rebbe came into the Fabrengen. They deep cleaned all 770. It was like, just so the Rebbe should be like sterile, everything. So They came into the Fabrengen, he always tells a story, and the Rebbe, they poured the Rebbe wine, as normally used to happen in the Fabrengen, and the Rebbe started to talk, he said the first sicha. And it went haywire. As the Rebbe was talking, the whole thing became very irregular. And they were very, very worried, they didn't know what to do. It's a Rebbe, like, if we had a regular guy, they'd just stop him, right? But it's a Rebbe, the Rebbe wants Fabrengen. Like, I mean, I wouldn't want to be in that position of a doctor. They thought maybe to stop the whole Fabrengen would cause greater distress. They really didn't know what to do. Anyway, so they just held it, their breath. I kept going pretty regular until the end of the talk. And then when they sang it again, it was back to normal. They were very worried because it could lead to damage and stuff. Then the Rebbe said a second talk and the same thing happened. And they were really stressed out. And when the Rebbe finished the second sicha, the Rebbe motioned, he used to always motion that they should sing a nigun for the maimer. He said, a maimer, it's Kislev. And when he started the maimer, the whole maimer, it was perfect rhythm. So he doesn't know the explanation. I don't think anyone knows the explanation, but I think when the Rebbe said a maimer, it was like, we know that. I said, you say, the Rebbe said a maimer was like a different world. It was different. Different than a sicha. Sicha was connecting, I guess, struggling. I don't know exactly what the explanation is, but, trying to change the world. But a maimer is like a revelation from another world. Okay. So that's the... That's the concept of maimer. Now, what the Rebbe would do, these talks also, right? The previous Rebbes, when they used to say maimer, they would often write the maimer afterwards. And that's where we have a lot of the memoriam from the Rebbes. Or some of their people would write it down, but they would, like the Rebbe Rashab, for example, he would say maimer Friday night, and then Motzei Shabbos or Shabbos afternoon, the guys used to remember the maimer would go into him and repeat it, so that he would be able to correct if they're doing it right or wrong, whatever. The Rebbe wouldn't do that. What they used to do is they used to transcribe the maimer afterwards, whether it's weekday or Shabbos, and it was called an unedited maimer. So most of the sikh, most of the talks and the mamorim of the Rebbe, both sikhs and mamorim, are unedited. I mean, they were done by good guys, and it's probably reliable, but it was unedited. And always the condition is that it can be printed, but it has to say on it that it's an unedited transcript, yeah, that's it. Once in a while, so with sichas, with the talks, so later on in the Rebbe's leadership, they started a thing where the Rebbe would edit one sicha each week, and that's why we have volumes and volumes of, it's called Likutei Sicha, so we have like 39 volumes of the Rebbe's talks that's edited. With the Maimarim, in the early years, not so much, but later, it started quite regularly, the Rebbe would edit a Maimar. Sometimes, not this wasn't regular at all, sometimes with the Rebbe, they would print a lot of copies, and then the Rebbe would actually give out the maimer. He would hand it himself to the chassid. That was a very special moment. I have a few maimarim that the Rebbe handed out. Last one, so just before, around Purim Katan, this was like a month and a bit before the Rebbe had a stroke, which then there wasn't any more talks or anything, maimarim. The Rebbe had stopped saying maimarim really like a year or two before that, but he used to edit a lot of the previous maimarim. So he was still giving out maimarim, but they were edited. So the last... No, he was still Fabrengen. No one knows the reason. There was a time before, a few years before the stroke, that the Rebbe stopped saying Mamorim. But he instead edited, but the editing of Mamorim increased a lot then. And every special day, there'd be a previous Mamor editor that would come out. Right? The last one that was edited is a Mamor called Ve'ata Tetzave, which is the one we're going to look at today. And what happened was, they gave it into the Rebbe. It was from 1981. We're talking now Toshin Nun Beis, which was already 92. This was like 12 years before, right? 11 years before. Which the Rebbe had said a maimer based on the previous Rebbe's maimer, but a lot of his own additions. He had said a maimer for Purim Katan, which was a leap year. And it was, he said a maimer for the small Purim, as you call it, the first Purim, right? And then what they did was, that year the Rebbe had the stroke, it was also a leap year. So for Purim Katan, they sent into the Rebbe a revamped maimer. They used to do a lot of work in it before the Rebbe would edit it, with footnotes and references and everything. And the Rebbe edited, and that was the maimer that came out, V'ata Tetzave. And the Rebbe let it be known that he's going to give it out as well, on Purim Katan itself. And he gave it. I wasn't there, so I didn't get one, but I was here. But so that's the maimer. And then, I think 6 weeks later or something, whatever it was, The Rebbe had the stroke, and that was it. So this is the last maimer. But it's actually fascinating because if you really understand it properly, it's very much, it's seen as like the Rebbe leaving us with a very, very important message. We're not going to go into so much of that concept today. I'll just mention it because towards the end, there's a concept that the Rebbe brings and builds that he says, and this people have to do within themselves, kind of hinting that you're going to have to do a lot of work in yourself. Although he says that the Moshe Rabbeinu, he talks about Moshe Rabbeinu, but the model is like the same thing of a Rebbe, that he gives koyach, but it's the job, he still inspires you to do it, but you've got to do it on your own, you're much more on your own kind of thing, which was seen as very much what the Rebbe was saying. Okay, so it's impossible to do the whole maimah, it's a very long maimah, it's 12 chapters. So I just thought what we'd do is I'm going to cover a couple of topics, and we're going to just do excerpts of it. So let's have a look. So if you look at your hand, that I've just copied different paragraphs, and I've numbered them, so I'll just make it easy. So number one, so it starts off with the pasuk, as most mamorim do, start off with a pasuk or a saying of Chazal, which is the beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, which is around Purim Katan. And so like this, V'ata Tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael, Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says, and you will command the Jewish people, v'yikhu eilecha shemen zayizach, and they will bring to you pure olive oil, kosis lamoir, crushed, the olive oil will be crushed, lamoir, that it should be able to produce light, lahalois neir tamid, to kindle a neir tamid, an eternal light. V'yiduim hadiyukim bazeh, and it's known the questions on this. The Rebbe asks a whole bunch of questions. We'll learn one inside, and I'll tell you a few of them outside. The b'chol hatzivuim sheba Torah, all commandments in the Torah, nemar, it says, tzav es b'nei Yisrael. It doesn't say you will command. It just says Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Tzav es b'nei Yisrael, command the Jewish people, or Daber el b'nei Yisrael, or speak to the Jewish people. Here it's very irregular language. It starts off just the pasuk that says, Hashem is speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, V'ato anu tetzave es b'nei Yisrael, you will command b'nei Yisrael. So it's a very irregular language, he wants to know why. This other question is also, he asks the question why it says, crushed lamo'er. Now, really it should say, the olives will be crushed to produce oil. La'or, not la'mo'er. Oir means to produce light. Mo'er, in Hasidus, mo'er is a much higher level than light. It's the source of light. Just to give you an example, the rays of the sun is called oir, right? The sun is the mo'er, right? The luminary, the source of light. So normally when we talk about Hashem's revelation in the world, we talk about oir, because that's the part that we get. We get a spark of a spark of a spark through Tzimtzum of Hashem's revelation. But Hashem himself, which is the source of the light, is the Mo'er, right? Which is like the essence of the light, which we don't get, really. Okay. And questions like that. Also, he wants to know, in the beginning it says that the menorah will light Me'erev Ad Boker, from evening to morning. And then it says to kindle an eternal light. So why is it sometimes? I mean, it's not such a question in Pshat, because we know that something like the Korban is also called Korban Tomid, because something that happens every day is called Tomid, it's called eternal. But nevertheless, it changes language. So at first it's evening and thing, and then now it's eternal. So what does that mean? Okay. So he gives the basic question. The basic answer is brought down in the previous Rebbe's mind. Let's go to number two. So my father-in-law, the Friedrich Rebbe, explains, the Mamore Hayodu, and the very famous mimer. This is also based on a very famous mimer of the previous Rebbe, which I'll give you the context in a minute. Dibur HaMaskel, which was started with a different language, was started the Kibel HaYehudim, which starts with a pasuk in the Megillah, which talks about how the Jews re-accepted the Torah after the story of Purim. Shenemar, that mimer was said by Purim Katon Tofresh Pei Zayin. Now, that was 1927. Why it's a famous mimer is because the previous Rebbe said a mimer, and in defiance of the communists. They were after him at that point. A number of months later, he was arrested, sentenced to death, and then miraculously saved, and released actually also in Tammuz, on the 12th of Tammuz. But that mimer was, he knew that, he said it in public, he knew that KGB were listening, and he was very defiant. It was about children have to learn Torah, and the power of children learning Torah, and you have to have a serious nefesh, and he goes back to the whole story of Purim, and Mordechai gathered children to learn, teach Torah, even though they could have been killed on the spot and all that kind of thing. So Friedrich Rebbe was very like the whole, and later this mimer talks about the whole concept of Mesiris Nefesh, which is a big part of this mimer, about the idea of giving up everything for Hashem's sake, right? So that was a very famous mimer. But in that he brings the pasuk Va'ata Tetzaveh that we started with, and he asks the same question. He says the following. He says, The word tzivui, tetzave, right? The word commandment, as we know, mitzvah is the same thing, comes from the word hutzafso v'chibur. It's to connect, to join, right? That's one of the reasons mitzvahs are called mitzvahs. Because each mitzvah connects us to Hashem, right? So, when Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, the ato tetzave, you will command, what does it actually mean? You will connect. In other words, he's telling Moshe Rabbeinu what your job is, job description of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? The ato tetzave, espenei Yisrael, you will connect the Jewish people. That's what the Moshe Rabbeinu's mission is. Shemoshe hu mekasher u mechaber. Moshe connects and joins b'nei espenei Yisrael, the Jewish people, im oirein sof, with the infinite light of Hashem. Right? Validei. And, validei shemoshe Rabbeinu. Validei shemoshe mashpia li Yisrael. And through this, and Moshe Rabbeinu has an impact on the Jewish people. And the impact is shemekasher oisam im oirein sof, that he connects them with the Oren Sof. Ali day zen nasi Yisro v'sof of Moshe. Hashem was telling Moshe that you will actually also gain from it. By connecting the Jewish people, you yourself will gain. Why? Because we know the Moshe v'Yisrael hen dugmas roish v'regel. Because we know that Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people are analogous to a head and feet. There's a pasuk in the Chumash that, like Moshe Rabbeinu says, about the 600,000 feet that I am amongst. In other words, he's the head and everyone else is the foot, right? But we know that's why he leads and he connects and he inspires. But we also know that the foot helps the head, right? So that when the foot can take the head to places where the head can't go on its own, right? So that's the idea. Where's it mentioned, where's it hinted in the pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu will gain? Explains later, because it says kosis la-mo'er. That has to do with the mo'er. The mo'er means the source of light that through you giving to the Jewish people, there'll be the concept of mo'er. You'll be elevated to the source of light, not just the light himself, and that whole story. Okay. Now, let's go to number three. Again, you're not getting a complete mimer, but we're getting some complete themes, put it that way. All right. And I says like this. Well, the vire is there, now is number three. To explain this, maktim beha mimer. He prefaces in the mimer, he's referring back to the previous Rebbe's mimer. Shemoshe Rabbeinu nikra Raya Mehemne. He's going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Raya Mehemne. Raya Mehemne means, it's an expression in the Zohar. This is very important. This is the basis of what he's going to talk about. The word Raya Mehemne means a faithful shepherd. Right? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is referred to in the, it's Aramaic, by the way, right? In Hebrew, you would say Raya Ne'emon. A faithful shepherd, right? A trusted shepherd. So that's what the Zohar says. The Moshe Rabbeinu is called Raya Mehemne. Now, what he says is, the Shnei Pirushim was there. There are actually two explanations in this. One is, Shehu Roya Neman Shel Yisrael. One is, he's a faithful shepherd, which means a very trusted and faithful shepherd of the Jewish people. So he thinks about us, he leads us, he inspires us, he lifts us up, he connects us, all that kind of thing. That's one way of understanding it. Another way is, Shehu Zon Umefarnes Es Yisrael Be'inyon Ho'emuna. Meaning, he's not a faithful shepherd, he's a shepherd of faith. Which means he feeds, he infuses the Jewish people with emunah. Right? That is the job of Moshe Rabbeinu. To infuse the Jewish people with emunah. Now what does that mean? We know all you didn't have emunah. So what's the pshat? This is a famous pshat. The emunah sheyeshno b'Yisrael mitzad atzvam. That the emunah, right, that the Jewish people have on their own, which every Yid has, because we know, why do we know that Shei Yisrael hei ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim? Yid not called believers, the sons of believers. But the problem is, efshar shetiyah b'pchinas makif. It is possible to be makif. We've learned what makif means, we mentioned it last week. Makif means it's not internalized, it's encompassing, it's very strong. It's there, lurking in the recesses of the soul somewhere, but it's not... it's not internalized, right? As we know, the famous idea of the ganef, right? You can have a ganef, you can steal, and say prayer to Hashem to help him steal, right? It means he believes in Hashem, he believes that everything comes from Hashem, that he needs Hashem's help for success, but he's asking Hashem for success for something Hashem doesn't want him to do. So he believes, but it's not internalized belief, right? So that's what it means. Therefore, So when we say that Moshe Rabbeinu shepherds and he sustains the Jewish people be'inyan ha'emunah, with faith, what does that mean? It doesn't mean he gives us faith. Faith we have. It means she'emunah tia bipnimis. He leads us and inspires us and infuses us with emunah, that the emunah should be internalized. Right? That's the mission of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. Now, one of the key aspects of this maimer, which is also based on what something the Friedrich Rebbe says in his maimer, but it's much more expanded on, is that this is not only Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a concept that the Zohar says, Ispashtusa de Moshe b'chol dora v'dora. There's the expansion, the expression, the manifestation of Moshe Rabbeinu in every generation. Right? These are the tzaddikim, the leaders of the generations, and so on. So, one particular one that's focused on in the Friedrich Rebbe's maimer is Mordechai. So Mordechai, in his generation, was the Moshe Rabbeinu. So he was doing the same thing. He was infusing people with emunah. In the Rebbe's maimer here, of course, by Hasidim, that's the Rebbe's relationship. The Rebbe's relationship to Hasidim and the Rebbe is a relationship between Yidden and Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what it is, right? So we say that the Rebbe is also an Hashama Klal Yisrael, like Moshe Rabbeinu was. He's the all-encompassing soul and encompassing all the other souls, and he does the same job as Moshe Rabbeinu did. Now, the Rebbe in this maimer says this very clearly. He says that just like Moshe Rabbeinu did this, just like Mordechai did this, so too the Friedrich Rebbe did this, right? He never talks about himself. The Rebbe never ever spoke about himself. But Chassidim always applied it to himself. That was the operation system for all the years of the Rebbe's leadership, right? That when he never spoke, never, he only saw himself as like an extension of the previous Rebbe. That was like, okay. So that's an important thing, because it's an important thing to understand what the relationship is, and it's also got to do with the fact of feeding emunah. Okay. However, what we'll learn in the Maimer is that the way the Moshe Rabbeinu in each generation feeds the concept of emunah, right? Meaning, helps us and inspires us to internalize that emunah, can differ from generation to generation. So just to give you the synopsis before, like it's almost like a spoiler, but let me just tell you so it'll become clear later. The way that Moshe Rabbeinu did it was, as explained in many places, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was the concept of Das. You know how we learned in Tanya about Das? So Das is when you internalize a concept, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama was connected to the concept of Das, and he fed the Jewish people Das. So when they understood about Hashem and they believed in Hashem, it shouldn't be just a concept. The concept can be in Chochmah and Binah. But you need Das to internalize something. So Moshe Rabbeinu fed the Jewish people Das. In other words, he lifted them up at a very high level and he gave them the ability to have Das, because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is. Moshe Rabbeinu is the concept of Das, because his Das comes from the word connection. And when you connect to a concept and you're completely one with it, that's why in Hebrew, in Chumash language, intimacy is called Das. Right? So that's what he did. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is one with Hashem. So he fed the Jewish people the concept of Das so that they could take the emunah and internalize it. Mordechai, however, did it very differently. Mordechai inspired the Jewish people to internalize their emunah through the concept of Mesiras Nefesh. That Mesiras Nefesh is not so apparent in the Midbar, by the desert. They didn't need Mesiras Nefesh. They just needed Das, right? They were quite comfortable, everything was fine. There was a revelation of Hashem every single day. Man fell from heaven. They learned from Moshe Rabbeinu that they were spiritually protected. But they still could have a lapse in their emunah, and they did have a lapse in their emunah. They complained many times and things like that. So there, it's not that you have to go give up your life because no one's opposing you. But you need to have Das, right? So in other words, the situation in the Midbar wasn't one that called for Mesiras Nefesh. It was just one that called for Das, because Mesiras Nefesh is when you get opposed. So you got to fight back. You got to give up your life, or you got to give up your will, or you got to give up your surrender, complete surrender. They didn't need surrender. There was nothing threatening them, nothing spiritually threatening them in the Midbar, but they still needed to internalize, otherwise it could remain makif, and therefore they needed to have Das. Whereas in the case of Mordechai, the way he brought Yidden to internalize did their emunah is it was expressed through the concept of Mesiras Nefesh, that the Emunah is such a strong way that they were ready to give up their life. Because as we'll see later, you can't really give up your life. You can't really have Mesiras Nefesh if you haven't internalized your Emunah, right? And then the third part of the Maamar is going to explain what that really means today. Today, what does that mean, internalizing the Emunah? That's a big chiddush that the Rebbe says, and we'll see in a second. Okay. It's deep, so we're going to have to try and cover time here, but we'll, if you lose me, stop me. He says like this. So go to number four. He said, because the whole question is like this. We have this concept. Why is the Talmud Mordechai so special? Because one of the things that's really strange is we find that the Gemara says that Matan Torah, and we know how amazing Matan Torah was, right? Matan Torah was only the beginning of accepting the Torah. Whereas in time of Haman, they really accepted the Torah. And the question is that on Haman, they were much lower spiritual level. So how come then they were able to reach a level of really accepting the Torah, whereas in the time of Matan Torah, they weren't? So he says very simple. So he says like this, Bizman, and number four now. Bizman gzeiras Haman at the time of the decree of Haman. Kshehoyu b'tachlis ha-shif, when the Yidden were very low, Oz Dafka, then specifically Kiblu Mashachel Matan Torah, they were able to end the job and really accept what they began at Matan Torah. Umavur was then, it's explained, why is that? Because the Bizman Agzeira, because at the time of the decree of Purim, Hoyakiyum HaTorah VaMitzvah Shalhem, they kept Torah Mitzvahs with Mesiras Nefesh. That Mesiras Nefesh. Okay, we'll leave the rest of the paragraph. Basically, that's a concept. They had Mesiras Nefesh completely, they were ready to give up their lives, the whole thing, and therefore the Mesiras Nefesh brought about such an internalization of their connection with Hashem that expressed this concept of accepting, finalizing what was accepted by Matan Torah. Mesiras Nefesh had that power. Now let's explain it. So now it goes into this part. It's like this. Yesh levayer zeh. We can explain this al pi ha'yidua, according to what is known. Zeh she Yisrael number five. Yeah. Zeh she Yisrael ma'minim belakus be'munah pshuta. This that a yid, the default of a yid is to believe in Hashem. But emunah pshuta, with simple, pure faith. Ein tzrichim raisas there to the point that we don't need any proofs, right? The default of a yid is we believe in Hashem without any proof, without anything. Just that's what a yid is. A yid believes in Hashem. Why? Mitzat shnei taimim. Because of two reasons, right? Two reasons. Lefi shemazlayu chazi. One reason is, because there's a part of our neshama that is not conscious. In other words, the three, right, you know the neshama has five levels, right? So nefesh, ruach, neshama, that's the conscious part of the neshama. Are you cold? Can you put on the heater? I'm also cold. You might just press the button on the right. No, over there, in the corner over there. The right hand, the top right hand button. That's it, thank you. It'll take a few minutes and it'll get too hot, we'll put it off. Okay. So we don't like this. So let's go through this properly. So nefesh ruach neshama, that's the conscious part of the neshama. That's the part of the neshama that comes into the body. As we said last week, its advantage is that it's internalized. So it's the thinking of Torah, the mitzvahs, and loving Hashem and serving Hashem and so on. However, it's a diluted manifestation of the neshama because it's able to come into the body. So it went through a process of tzimtzum. Right? Then we have a subconscious part of the neshama, which is the first part is called chaya. Chaya is the rotzain, it's the makif of the neshama. It's the what Chassidus calls the mazel of the neshama. Mazel means like it's part of a neshama that doesn't actually interact with our body. It's our neshama, but it's working remote control. So there's a famous Gemara, I think it's Gemara Rosh Hashanah, where Daniel, it's a famous story with Daniel that he was in a banquet with a Nebuchadnezzar, with a bunch of people. And there was some revelation of Nevuah, some writing on the wall, which no one saw, only Daniel, but yet everyone trembled. Right? So the Gemara says, how come? They didn't see it. So why did they tremble? So it says, the afal gav the iu lechazi, because even though he didn't see it, mazlayu chazi, the mazel saw it, right? And we have a lot of things like that. So for example, just so we explained it. So we have things that sometimes our subconscious of our neshama understands, we don't get, so listens to, we don't get it. So for example, in Pirkei Avos we have, or in Gemara we have, that these different baskol, heavenly voices that come out, right? It says like every day there's a baskol, a heavenly voice that comes out and says, you should do tshuva or something, or you should learn Torah, right? So we don't hear it. So what's the point of these baskols? The point is that our mazel hears it, our chaya, our makif has it. which explains why sometimes a person can be suddenly inspired. Sometimes you have like inspiration, I'm gonna learn more, right? I'm gonna do a mitzvah. Why does that happen? Because the mazel heard the baskel and ignites, and by remote control pushes something, inspires something. Now, we can let it dissipate because it's mucky. If it hasn't been internalized, our job then is to internalize it. Okay, but that's the concept. Now, emunah's way, same thing. So a mazel, so we, the part of our neshama that's conscious, we have to understand Hashem. Okay, so we learn about Hashem and we understand Hashem. Our mazel, for want of a better example, our mazel sees Hashem. In other words, the clarity, the certainty that our mazel that our mazel has for Hashem is like the certainty you have when you see something. So in other words, belief in Hashem that comes only from your conscious faculties, right? That's like hearing something. So you convince me that there's a table in the next door, in the next room. Okay, I hear it. But it's not, I need a proof for that, right? I don't know, I've never seen the table. And also it's a proof which is refutable, right? If I see the table, it's over. I see the table, it's certain. So there's a part of our neshama, which, in the way explained in this maimer, is the level of chaya, not even got, before we even get to yechida, right? It's level of chaya, which is the higher part of our neshama. It's transcendent. It is the will of our neshama. It's the makif part of our neshama. That part of our neshama, the way it observes godliness, is like seeing, right? Which is why a yid believes in Hashem without proof. The problem is it's makif, right? That's why you can believe and still daven to Hashem to steal. But right, but okay. But it's absolutely certain because it's like seeing something that's certain. Okay, let's see. The neshama shalamayla, the neshama which is above. It's not even in us. It's our neshama. It's connected to us, but it's not. Roya elakus, sees elakus. What does it mean, sees elakus? Re'iya shalamayla maseichel. It's like seeing, which is higher than understanding. And what happens? And that affects the neshama that it should have a munah in godliness. Okay, clear so far? That's one explanation. However, there's a deep explanation. Another explanation: the shoyrish amunah, the actual source of our munah in Hashem, whom etzem neshama is from a level even deeper than chaya. What's it? It's a level of yichida, which is called the essence of the neshama. Right, which is the pintalayid, right? The now shalemayla mimazlaya chazi, which is higher than the muzzle that sees. What does that mean? Because the zeh sheetzem haneshama mekusheres belakus, his kashrus atzmi. This that the etzem haneshama, the pintalayid, the essence of haneshama, is connected with godliness. That's an essential connection. It's not connected because of a reason. It's not dependent on a reason. It's not even dependent on seeing Elokus. So what is it? It's one with God. The way I like to put it is, you can believe in that the table is here because I see it, or you can believe in the table because I am the table. I'm one with the table. It's deeper than seeing. Right? It's a deeper emunah. So ultimately, the yid's emunah in Hashem comes from the essence of the neshama. Now, the essence of the neshama, by the way, is exactly that language, essence of the whole neshama. It's the essence, the foundation of the entire neshama, all parts of the neshama. That's why it affects all parts of the neshama, right? But it is different. It's the essence of the neshama, which is above all description, above all faculties. It's not a manifestation. It's not understanding. It's not a will. It's not pnimi. It's not makif. It's just that spark of the neshama that is one with Hashem. That's the real emunah. Now, so like this. He said like this. The difference between these two explanations is like this. So again, the one explanation of Amunah is because we see Elokus, which means that's talking about the part of Hanashama, the muzzle of the Hanashama, that sees Elokus. The second reason is because we have the Etzem Hanashama, the Etzem Hanashama that is Elokus, that's bound with Elokus, right? Okay. The Amunah, so what's the difference between these two explanations? Like this. The amun of an neshama melubeshes begufa bo merias an neshama shelamaylo. The amun of the neshama that comes into the body, that comes from the fact, part of the neshama that sees alokos. He bechinas makif. That's a part of the neshama that is makif. The kiven an neshama shelamaylo lemaylo mislapshus. That because the neshama is higher than coming into the body, it's the part of the neshama that's too lofty to actually be internalized in the consciousness of the person. Therefore, the way it operates, the way it influences the neshama, as we explained before, it doesn't makif. That's why the emunah is makif. The emunah is there, but it's makif because it's coming from a part of the neshama that is makif. Right? In order for the emunah to really be internalized, it's through revealing the essential connection that the neshama has that comes from the etzem haneshama. There's no way that the emunah can come really bipnimis unless somehow we go deeper and connect to the essence of the neshama that is completely one with the lokos. Now you're going to ask, what's that going to help? That part is also makif, right? It's even higher than chaya. If chaya is makif, then why isn't etzem haneshama makif? Yeah, you got the question? You follow the question?
Yeah.
He says no. Ki etzem haneshama, hi etzem shal haneshama melubeshes be'aguf. The etzem of the neshama is not another part of the neshama. It's the essence of the whole neshama. Let me see if I can give you an example. Take a tree. Okay? What part of the tree, let's say, is the main part of the tree, you say, right? Not the trunk. Okay, the roots. Okay. No, it's bad. It's a bad muscle. Let me try something else.
So then
he's
saying it's not 5 levels.
No, it is 5 levels, but the fifth level is the essence of all the levels. We'll get that. I'll tell you what I mean. I'll tell you in a second. Let me give you an example. Yeah, but I want to give you an example of what it means essence of something, so as opposed to another level. Right? So take a table, for example, right? Okay. Take two tables, let's say. Take a very simple table like this. And take, a very expensive wood with design, handmade, a table, right? They're both tables, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is the one more of a table than the other? No?
Mm-hmm.
Table is a table, right? Take an apple. An apple is an apple, right? Is different parts of the apple. In other words, you have the essence of something and you have the manifestation of the something. So like this, if you eat an apple and you peel an apple because you don't like the skin, right? Have you peeled off something that's not apple? No. There's nothing more apple about the apple than the skin. They're both part of the apple. They operate completely differently. In other words, like this, the one is, right? Or a rotten apple and a sweet apple. In other words, how do you define an apple? By its sweetness? No, that's a manifestation of the apple. By its color? No, it's also a manifestation of the apple. A green apple is no more or less apple than a red apple. You follow? So, what makes the apple that I eat any better than the skin? Not that it's more of an apple. It's a different version of an apple. I mean, the manifestation of the apple is more nutritious or more tasty, whatever the case, an apple than the skin. You understand? You could say that when I eat, or even the what do you call that thing on top of the apple? The twig, right? What?
Stalk.
Stalk, yeah, right? It's also part of the apple. So why don't you eat it? Because I don't taste apple as much in the stalk as I do. But you could say it's not apple. No, its essence is apple. It's all apple. Same thing like that. The Yechida, the Pintel Yid of a Yid, we call it the Etzem HaNeshama. It's the essence, the spark, which is the essence of the Neshama. Meaning that is really the whole Neshama. It's just not manifested in the whole Neshama, instead. It's not manifested in what we call the conscious faculties of the Neshama. But actually, if you were to describe what is the essence of my brain, meaning my godly brain, my Nefesh HaLakis, the essence of it is the Neshama. What's the Neshama? One with Hashem. Well, it's still got a munah. It's not a munah that you have to believe in something. It's a munah because there isn't anything else. Okay? But if you ignite that, so in other words, the part of our Neshama that just sees Elokus, that sees godliness. So first of all, there are two different levels, you understand? I'm going to explain soon. When I see something, I am seeing something else. I'm believing in something else. But as you're going to say later, it still gives room for something, for a different thing. I'm seeing this, but this could be... Right? And munah that comes from the essence of the Neshama is, I'm not seeing anything. I'm completely one with that thing, and there's nothing else. That's it. That's the reality. I don't have to believe in something. There isn't any room for anything else to believe in. You follow? Number one. And number two... Therefore, the only way to really bring a munah b'pnimius is to ignite that part of the neshama, because the part of my neshama, mazlai chazi, the mazali chaya, the fourth level of the neshama that believes in Hashem because it sees it. Yes, it can influence the rest, but it's not the essence of the neshama. It's another part of the neshama. It relates to my brain. It interacts with my brain, my emotion, but it's makif and my brain is pnimi, so they don't really. It's hard to combine them. They'll influence it. They'll inspire it. Right? And if I'm lucky, I'll think about it, maybe I'll internalize my brain, but it doesn't necessarily, it's not by default, it doesn't bring it pnimius. But if I ignite somehow the part of my neshama that's mamash one with Hashem, that part of the neshama, besides being a deeper emunah, is also the essence of the neshama. It's the essence of the whole neshama. Exactly. But it's not felt in the pnimius, right? Because that's the good dichotomy. In other words, it's not felt of nimius because it's the essence of the neshama. It's higher than intellect. It's higher than everything. It's. In other words, so I'll give you an example to using the table before, right? When you walk into a room and you see the most exquisite, designly handmade table that's unbelievable with diamonds on it, whatever, right? You almost forget the table's there. Like you don't notice the table. You notice the design, right? So the same thing where you have a lot of manifestation of the essence of neshama, the essence of neshama is in the background. But it's still the essence of the neshama by the table also. I mean, it's not such an accurate mushroom, but more or less, right? So in other words, I'm still looking at a table, but I'm not noticing a table, right? Same thing in our consciousness of our soul, we're still looking at the soul. It's still the soul, but we don't notice the soul because we're looking at the intellect, the emotion, the behavior. You understand? It's different. Okay. Now, we have to move on, yeah? Sorry? Exactly. Oh, but now we're going to get to something amazing. But let's do that. Now, he says like this. He says, okay, let's just go quarter number six. He says, he says like this. Zeh amunah, he says, this amunah, the Yisrael yibo'ifin shum bo'isa nafshal zeh. Now, the amunah that brings mesiras nefesh, doesn't actually come from the munah of the muzzle that sees. It comes from the etzem hanashama, the second munah. And he says, because, I'm not going to go inside, but because the munah that you comes from what you see, at the end of the day, there's still room for something else. Yeah, so he ignites, he understands, his muzzle sees a lakus, but okay, you see it, but it's not me. It's subtly gives room for another existence as well. Mesiras Nefesh, when Yidden had Mesiras Nefesh, both at the time of Purim, and throughout the ages, but he's talking about Purim, but throughout the ages, and in the context where he starts talking about later, the Yidden in Russia, for example, Mamush gave up their life, right? I mean, I don't know if you know the stories of the Friedrich Rebbe generation, right? There was a generation of Mesiras Nefesh, right? Real Mesiras Nefesh, giving up life. I mean, there was a... The chassidim that did what the Friedrich Rebbe asked them to do, knowing they're going to die. It was like obvious they were going to die. And it wasn't because it wasn't any other way. It was this, right? I'll give you an example of what I mean by Mesiras Nefesh, right? there was a very, very big chassid. I think his name was Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Raskin. I think it was his first name. A very well-known Mesiras Nefesh. He had afterwards a few daughters that were very, very, they married big chassidim, and he got arrested. And he got taken away and he was killed eventually, right? When they arrested him, his daughters were at home. He didn't send, there was another thing, he didn't send his daughters to school because they were indoctrinating kids with heresy, right? But it was illegal. He could have lost his life just for that. While they were arresting him, he turned around to his daughters and he said, make sure to always keep Shabbos. Make sure to marry someone from and a chassid. And it was the third thing I forgot. He was screaming at them, telling them the very thing that he was arrested for. He was telling them, because by him there wasn't any other reality. Right? There was like I think it was his relative, maybe him even. He was very, very sick at one point and he needed meat to make him better. And there was no kosher meat. So the family wanted him to eat meat and he went to tell him, you know, there's opi halacha, you could eat, it's puach nefesh. He says, I know everything, but I can't put it into my mouth. I cannot put treif in my mouth. Okay, well, let's understand the story halachically, whatever, but that's what it was. Right? We're talking about not that they made a decision to give up. There was no other reality. Right? That's Mesiras Nefesh means. Now, he says, because that can only come from the Etzem HaNeshama. It can only come from the Yechidah. It can only come from that part of you that's awakened, where not you see something, that you are the something, and therefore there's no room for anything else. Right? Okay. However, if you turn on the page, I'm going to explain this a little bit outside, I think. But ever then, and this is the chiddush of this maimer, he goes to a third level. Right?
What is time?
Which is for our time, yeah. Which is very clear what the Rebbe's doing here, right? I mean, it was before the Rebbe passed away, even, because it was after Russia. Because he ends up talking about two kinds of Mesiras Nefesh. Whenever I teach this Maim, I say you can call it the Russian Mesiras Nefesh and the American Mesiras Nefesh. He doesn't say the words Russia and America, but he talks about Mesiras Nefesh and the places where you have to give up your life, and the Mesiras Nefesh and the places where you're allowed to keep Torah mitzvahs freely. And yet you still need Mesiras Nefesh, and that's what we're going to explain in a second, right? And in a way, that's a higher Mesiras Nefesh. Now, because that's where you reach the highest level, and he ties it back to the pasuk which says, "Kosis that the grapes are crushed, and mo'er they reveal the mo'er." Remember, the mo'er is not oir. Oir is one level. Mo'er is the highest level, right? The essence of Hashem. And how does he do that? So I'm just summarizing here because I want to finish, right? So essentially, what happens is like this. It's a confusing maimer when you learn it. I remember once I was battling over this maimer and I was Gimel Tammuz by my father-in-law, Rabbi Melech Sivu, was a big chassid, and he knew chassidus very, very well. And I was getting confused in this maimer. It's a difficult maimer, and I asked him to just explain it to me. I said, clarify for me. He said, did you learn footnote 56? I said, actually, no, I didn't. He said, learn that footnote, everything will come clear. And he explained to me, but there's a footnote there which puts it all together. Essentially, it's like this. Essentially, what the Rebbe talks about in this maimer is three examples of how Emunah is internalized, right? One is what Moshe Rabbeinu did in the time of the Midbar, as we explained. One is Mesiras Nefesh, Mordechai in his generation, and what the Rebbe alludes to, the Friedrich Rebbe's generation before it came to America, right? And then there's our times. So let's understand let's understand how the first two work. The Munna in Moshe Rabbeinu, because he says clearly that the Munna in Mesiras Nefesh, the level of internalization of a Munna in Purim's story was higher than Moshe Rabbeinu's. That's why they were accepted the Torah. Because in the story of Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the day, they didn't need Mesiras Nefesh. So really what they were trying to work on there is Das. Das actually means it's about taking the muzzle Emunah from the fourth level and internalizing it. That's really what it is. You have a munah from the muzzle, from the seeing a lukus. You need to internalize it. That's a hard thing to do. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu does through Das. Now, he explains in that footnote, even there you need the essence of the neshama, because in order to combine the makif with the pnimi, it's inspired by the part of the neshama that's both higher than makif and pnimi, which is the essence of the whole neshama, and that's why it works, right? But essentially, the way that worked was that it was Moshe Rabbeinu inspiring the people to take that makif amunah and to internalize it more b'pnimis. When it comes to Purim, Purim was about bringing the Jews to a point where the yichida, the etzem haneshama, was revealed. Once the etzem haneshama is revealed, there's no other thing, there's nothing else exists, and you have a serious nefesh. So there, it comes more from the person himself. In other words, the essence of the neshama is, it's not about das being taught by Moshe Rabbeinu. Like we know by Matan Torah, like the mountain Hashem, you know, Hashem sort of led us the way, but by Purim it had to come much more from them. That's why they received the Torah more from an internalized point of view. And it was coming from a very deep level, the idea of Mesiris Nefesh. And that's where Mesiris Nefesh, where you see clearly the essence of the neshama. In other words, what happened in Moshe Rabbeinu's time, of course, had to do with the essence of the neshama, because you can never have a munah come b'pnimis unless it's inspired by the essence of the neshama. But it wasn't, the power of the essence of the neshama wasn't the obvious force there. The obvious force was the mazel, the makif, the transcendence of the makif coming b'pnimis, right? Yeah, you follow me? I'm cramming this in. But whereas in Mesiris Nefesh of Purim, that's where you see a full-blown example of Yichidish B'Nefesh, and the same thing with the Yidden in Russia. It's Yichidish B'Nefesh. They're not operating anything, it's Yichidish B'Nefesh. Okay. Then the Rebbe says an interesting thing. However, there's a deeper level. And then we have to understand, I'll try and explain it properly. The Rebbe says, very interesting, he says it twice in the Maamar, very interesting. He says, he doesn't say names, of course, he doesn't say people, he says it very subtly, but the Rebbe says that you do see that there were people who lived in lands where you had to have mamash mesiris nefesh, and they had mesiris nefesh, and then when they came to lands where where it's not so, where it's easy to keep Torah mitzvahs, in very Rebbe fashion, he says, lo nikar aleim kol kach, it wasn't so recognizable on them, mesiris nefesh. That was a little bit more relaxed, right? Back in Russia, it was this and that's it. They remained religious Jews and everything like that, but you don't see the, yeah. So what's the issue? Issue like this. Because there's two ways that Yechida could reveal itself, the Etzem HaNashama could reveal itself. So the way it works is like this. The essence of Neshama is that part of the Neshama that's Mesiris Nefesh, that's just one with Hashem, there's nothing else, right? That part of the Neshama is higher than what we call Koich HaSagluyim, the conscious faculties of the Neshama. It's higher than understanding, it's higher than emotion, it's higher than feeling, it's higher than all these things. But it's much deeper. So what happens? The essence, the reason why the Emunah and the Mesiris Nefesh comes from the essence of the Neshama is not because it understands godliness, because it's much higher than understanding. It's nothing to do with understanding. It's got to do because it is godliness, right? So when that part of the Neshama is revealed, what happened in real Mesiris Nefesh is it just pushes aside everything else. In other words, if you take stories of Mesiris Nefesh, when a Yid went and put himself and said, shoot me, I'm not being Mechalel Shabbos, was there a thought-out process there? No. There was no thought-out process. Was there a pilpul, an analysis in the Gemara? Was there a shiur given? No. All that went to sleep. Why? Because the yichida, the etzem haneshama, just revealed itself and took over. So the koich hasagluyim, the conscious faculties, it's like when the adrenaline of the soul reveals itself, nothing else works. It's pushed aside. It's surrendered. It's gone. So the person is operating. How's the person operating? On pure mesiris nefesh. There's no thinking. There's no feeling. There's no doing. It's just, I'm yours. Tell me what to do. Jump, I jump. Get killed, I get killed. Go to prison. Doesn't make a difference. Right? Part of what brings out that Mesiris Nefesh is the opposition to Yiddishkeit. When the communists came and they fought, they say, you're not allowed to keep Shabbos, but I want to keep Shabbos. But now how am I going to do this now? Thinking about Shabbos is not going to be good enough. Learning about Shabbos is not going to be good enough because they're threatening my life. So what happens? That opposition to Yiddishkeit in itself awakens the Emunah, awakens the Etzem HaNeshama, and therefore the thinking goes anitatized, Everything else goes to sleep, and I'm working on Etzem Anashon. I'm working on the adrenaline of the Etzem of the Yid. Essence of the Yid, right? Now it's very different. Now we don't have opposition. Right? So what are we working on? We're working on, I come to shiur because I learned that it's an important thing to do. I daven properly because I heard it if I bring it, that you got to daven like a mensch. My parents educated me that I got to keep Shabbos, I got to put on tefillah, I don't know, right? It's not coming from the Etzem HaNashon. What happens then? We weaken, right? We weaken, obviously. That's why those Yidden, the very same Yidden, that's the very same Yidden that have absolute Mesiras Nefesh, it could be that one day they woke up and the alarm clock was a bit tired, so they didn't go, they came 10 minutes late to the minyan. What happened to you? In Rashi, you're ready to go to jail for a minyan, and now you can't get out of bed? Hey, you'll go to the minyan, you slept from God, you believe in Hashem, good. Very simple, because the Etzem HaNashom is not revealed. So you're not working on Etzem HaNashom. You're working on unconscious faculties. No conscious faculties, sometimes like this, sometimes like that, some up, sometimes down, you know, it's different, right? So what's the highest level of Mesiras Nefesh? The highest level of Mesiras Nefesh is that you retain your consciousness and you still got Mesiras Nefesh. That you get to the level, where, at least in mindset, where there's nothing else exists, which is coming from the Etzem HaNashama, where I'm ready to do whatever Hashem wants, but I'm not operating. There's a fusion between consciousness and the Etzem HaNashama. And that's the real revelation of Etzem HaNashama that ever says in this mind. Why? Because when the Etzem HaNashama can only be revealed in a way where everything else gets cancelled, That's a limitation in the essence of Hashem. It's not the real Etzem HaNashama. Because it means that it has a description. It has a limitation. The real Etzem HaNashama is not limited to being conscious, being not conscious, yes consciousness, no consciousness, yes coexisting with our conscious faculties, not coexisting. It is the Etzem of everything. And he ties it in to this idea of Kossis crushed. What's the idea of crushed? He talks about a Yid being crushed, that we're in Golus. And we know the Rebbe was very crushed by the fact that Mashiach hasn't come yet. Right? And he wanted us to be crushed also. What does that mean? He says the real crush means, why is Yid crushed? I can understand why Yid is about to be shot for keeping Shabbos, is crushed why Mashiach hasn't come, and that makes sense. But to live in a land where we have everything we need and we can clear Hashem, and, right? Like sometimes we can ask ourselves a question, do we really want Mashiach? Right? Because he ties us into to wanting Mashiach. We have a decent house to live in, we have food to eat, 3 meals a day, we're fine, we have schools, we have everything we need. Okay, so sometimes we quetch because we see other people suffering. Okay, that's also not another level. That's not the real Rela of Mashiach. We want Mashiach because God is not revealed in the world, that's all. And that's the ultimate Mesiras Nefesh. And that, he says, and this is what he comes down, he says, that you have to do on your own. Because if it's done for you, then everything else goes to sleep. You have to be present. In other words, even though Purim, Mesiras Nefesh, also comes from yourself, but subtly it does it. Because subtly it comes from the revelation of the Etzem HaNashama that puts everything else to sleep. So you're working on Etzem HaNashama. Yes, it's your Etzem HaNashama. And it's coming from you. It's not coming from a revelation from Moshe Rabbeinu teaching. And it's not coming from Har Sinai. True. But it's still coming from something else because it's pushing away your conscious faculties. Right? How do you have real Mesiras Nefesh? Moshe Rabbeinu, or the way I understand this maimer that ever says, there's going to be a time I'm going to be a little bit in the background. Because I'll tell you, it works on all levels. I mean, people talk about post-Gimel Tammuz, right? How hard it is, and it is hard. I mean, for those of us who were there, it's a fundamental difference. I can tell you that when we danced at the Rebbe Simchas Torah, there was nothing else in the world. Like, literally. Right? If at that moment someone would tell you to do an Aveira, there would be no way in the world anyone would do anything wrong. Right? It was, I can't say it was a Gilui Elikus, I don't know what Elikus looks like, but it was. Right? And we had the Rebbe coming out of the new, so I'm saying, I'm just translating it into real terms, right? I was saying, but at the end of the day, it's not good enough there, because you're doing it for yourself. It's being done for you a little bit. Right? The Rebbe says, but that's the real Rebbe says, you have to do yourself. But then he ends in the mime, and he expresses, and it comes, what's the side of this? Kosis, that you get to the thing that you're actually upset that Hashem is not revealed in the world. Why upset? That the world's doing fine. I mean, it's not doing so fine now, but it's more or less, everything's good in our life, Baruch Hashem, right? But a lakus is not revealed. Oh, that's true. And then how does that translate? And therefore, that's coming from the Etzem HaNashama that translates that we have to now build on, we have to try. That's what our avoid is, to have Mesiris Nefesh. And I mean, I wake up in the morning and my Yechidah Sheba Nefesh is not full blood. And I had a good night's sleep and I'm still tired. But I say, what do you mean? There's nothing else. There's time for Davna for Davna. There's a Shul, I didn't Shulchan Aruch, I have to keep it. There's a thing I have to do, I've got to do it. Mesiris Nefesh. Not Mesiris Nefesh, I'm going to shoot you. Mesiris Nefesh, and not because my conscious faculties have gone to sleep. My conscious faculties are very awake. But my Yechidah is working together with my conscious faculties. That's the biggest Chiddush. And that's the revelation of the essence of Hashem and the essence of the Neshama, which are not bound by anything. They can coexist with consciousness, without consciousness. It doesn't make, that's the real, real, real level. Kosis Lamor, getting to the Mor. And the Rebbe ends by saying in the Maimer, very beautiful, which is something we see today, also, very, very apparently, I mean, if you talk again, translating it in Gimel Talmud in our Resha with the Rebbe, is that the Rebbe says that even though this has to be done by the person themselves, even Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't do it for you, it's got to be done. There's no Mordechai, there's no Moshe Rabbeinu doing it for you, you have to do it yourself. But the Moshe Rabbeinu still gives, at the background, he still gives the koyach to do it. So you still derive your koyach for it. And this is, I think, a very relevant paragraph. It was prophetic and I think it's the Rebbe giving it to us. That's why he gave it out, this Maimer. Because he was saying that he's not leaving. He's not checking out. He's very much there. Not so revealed, but very much there. And I could tell you, just having been there 6 weeks ago, by the oil, it's 100% true, right? I mean, it's right? But not only by the oil people. Right to the Rebbe, people ask brachas, it's still there. As the Rebbe explained many times with regards to Friedrich Rebbe, a Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't leave his flock. But the mission changes. And the mission is much more us doing it alone today. Trying to reach that high level of Mesiris Nefesh. It's total bittul still, by the way. But it's even a deeper bittul. Bittul means that I surrender, but I leave half myself behind. You understand? And then when my conscience, that's why those Yidden Rebbe talks about, in Russia, they're total bittul, but half of them was left behind, anitatized. That's when they came to America, and the consciousness came back, Mesiris Nefesh wasn't as much, right? This is total bittul. I'm surrendered with my seichel, with my middos, with my faculty, with everything that I have, I'm totally yours. The Rebbe speaks this idea in many, many places, very much the Rebbe's theme this. But over here he speaks it out clear, like. And that's our avoda today. That's the highest level of Mesiris Nefesh. Okay.